Friday, April 15th, 2011. This is a very special NBA playoff preview edition of the BucksCast. Of course, this is Coach Schmidt, and alongside me, our guest co-host, Ray from the NoLookPass.com, Jared Wade from BothTeamsPlayedHard.com, 8PointsIn9Seconds.com, and HardwoodProxism.com. And also, Quentin Haynes from NBA State of Mind .wordpress.com. So everybody enjoy this very special NBA playoff preview podcast. And we're going to do something different, actually, in this show. During every single break, I'm going to have a song that I think represents that guest the most. First off is Quentin, second is Jared, and last but not least is Ray Ray. And the song for Ray Ray is Questionable. Not my personal favorite, but he really wanted the song, so I'll just let you guys wait and see what that song is. So guys, enjoy the show.
Yeah, I'm up at Brooklyn, now I'm down in Tribeca, right next to the Narrow, but I'll be hood forever. I'm the new Sinatra, and since I made it here, I can make it anywhere. Yeah, they love me everywhere. I used to cop in Harlem, all of my Dominicanos right there up on Broadway. Pulled me back to that McDonald's, took it to my stash spot, 560 State Street. Catch me in the kitchen like a Simmons whipping pastry. Cruising down A Street, off-white Lexus, driving so slow, but BK is from Texas. Me, I'm up that Bed-Stuy, home of that boy Biggie. Now I live on Billboard, and I brought my boys with me.
Say hello, everybody, and welcome to this very special NBA playoff edition of the BucksCast. Of course, I'm Gersh Schmidt, and I have three very special guests that surround the NBA blogosphere. First off, we'll start out with Ray Morali from the NoLookPass.com. Ray, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Very good, and of course, you are a Lakers fan, and of course, they play the New Orleans Hornets. Mm-hmm. And are you excited about that series?
I'm not sure if I'm too excited. The Hornets aren't exactly like the most exciting team to watch right next up for Chris Paul, but, you know, at least the Lakers can use a little bit of quote-unquote rest, because let's just face it, this is not, this is probably the easiest opponent the Lakers can get in the postseason right now.
Yeah, I guess on Wednesday, April 13th, we are actually recording this on Thursday, April 14th, but if you're listening to the show at a different time, like there were a lot of Laker fans on Twitter that were, I guess, excited that the Lakers got the number 2 seed compared to the number 3 seed, because if they have 3 seed, they would end up playing the Portland Trail Blazers, who are, of course, a very, very tough team.
Right, Lakers aren't. They're never excited about facing the Blazers, especially if they go up to the Rose Garden. Yeah. Not a good thing for Lakers. Yeah,
yep, definitely. And your next guest on the show is Jared Wade. Jared, tell everybody the multiple things you write for.
Well, thanks for having me. First of all, right now, mostly I'm just doing 8PointsNineSeconds.com. It's the Pacers ESPN True Hoop Network blog. I also, you know, I've been doing Both Teams Played Hard, just a general NBA site, for, I don't know, since 07 or so. It's kind of just gone by the wayside a little bit, like, in the last few months. I've just had some, like, you know, real life stuff going on, and also just kind of trying to concentrate on the Pacers stuff as they finally make it to the playoffs for the first time in 5 years. So, but hopefully the Both Teams Played Hard thing is going to kick back up for the postseason. I'm going to get back on that. So check them both out.
Yeah, most definitely. And, your first round opponents happens to be the Bulls.
Yeah, that's the other thing with the playoffs. The Pacers aren't going to be around much longer, so I've only got about another week over there before it, you know, kind of winds down for the summer.
Yeah, 8 games below 500, but you're still in playoffs. That's the amazing thing about the Eastern Conference. You know, the Rockets 4 games above 500, not going to be the playoffs. That's
yeah, you gotta feel bad for the Rockets. Yeah,
the NBA works. And last but not least, we have Quentin Haynes from NBA States of Mind .wordpress.com. Quentin, how are you doing tonight?
How you doing, everybody? Thanks for inviting me to the show. I'm very excited.
And most definitely, and you are a Knicks fan?
Yeah, I've been a Knicks fan all my life. Really started liking the Knicks. My grandmother, she always turned on the Knicks, and I grew up from there.
Yeah, most definitely. And I guess out of all the playoff matchups, you have the most intriguing matchup, of course. You're going to play against the Boston Celtics, an old-school rivalry renewed.
I just really don't want to get sucked up in this New York euphoria here. A lot of fans, yeah. A lot of colleagues of mine are really just excited, thinking we're going to beat the Celtics. I'm nervous. I'm ready to see game one. Let's see how they do in this first game first before we get a little too excited.
Yeah, I don't know if I really can call it a rivalry because in the past like 3 or so years, Celtics have been doing good, and before that, they haven't. And lately, before this season, the Knicks haven't really been doing that good. So I guess the word rivalry is kind of going out there, kind of stretching it. But it's Boston, New York, so you can't really go wrong with that.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it a rivalry either. But New York is back apparently, yes. So gotta have a rivalry.
Yeah, most definitely, and I guess we're going to take a quick break. And, of course, we're going to preview all the matchups in the first round of the Eastern and Western Conference. Everybody, we'll be right back.
Shut up, all you rap guys, it's a joke. I'm here to take the scoring title without the green light from my coach. Man, don't make me have to smack your lineup. I'm Michael Jordan, y'all have with minors that rap vagina. All black, ski mask, love, tuck the thing. Drive slow, lights out like I love this game. See, I live this, y'all paint that pic. And y'all like magic, I'm starting to believe your dudes ain't that sick. Might see your boy scooping up a bird to get knowledge. Number one draft pick, and I skip college. Snakes in the trenches, I beat those. Get injured, end up like Grant Hill on the bench in your street clothes. Talk about he real guy, he quick with a Glock. But like Kirk Thomas, he ain't good for shit on the block. See the gleam for the shoes, man. I don't mean to see rude. Gunshot do you like Vancouver. Make it.
Everybody, we're back here on the very special NBA playoff edition of the Bucks cast, and we're gonna start out with the Eastern Conference, and right now I'm going to put Mr. Jared Wade on the spotlight here because the first series we're going to preview is the 1-8 series with the 62-20 Chicago Bulls going against the number 8 seed, the Indiana Pacers, 37-45. Again, guys, that's the magic of the Eastern Conference. First, let's start out with Jared. There's really no way the Pacers can win this, right?
No, I mean, yeah, especially when you say the record like that, it makes it sound a lot worse. I just try to think about them as the 8th seed and not the 37 and whatever. Yeah, I mean, I put up an article, I guess, on Wednesday that was talking about, how Indiana can win. But, I mean, it was just all kind of like, reaching its straws and just like a few, like, silly
arguments. Yes, if Derrick Rose, Carlos Boozer, and Joakim Noah all get into a pregame fight and have to go to the hospital, they might have a chance to win.
Right, yeah. No, so, I mean, yeah, there's really no chance. I mean, I think they will win a game, actually, just because when the Pacers – they've been very inconsistent, but when they do play well, they do play pretty well. I mean, yeah. It's been probably overstated, but I mean, they beat LA, they beat Miami both on the road this year. They've played some good teams. They beat the Celtics. They beat the Bulls in their last matchup, which they wasn't playing. But when they have everything going well, they do play really well. They score, and when their offense is crisp and Danny Granger's taking good shots, they can put points on the board, and they can even defend too. I mean, they were a pretty good defensive team, more so than they were even an offense team this year. But and then the Bulls kind of struggle to score at times. They're not exactly an offensive juggernaut when Derrick Rose isn't kind of being brilliant by himself. So I expect there to be one of the first probably game 3 or 4 out in Indiana where Everything's working for Indiana, and the Bulls are struggling a little bit, and then, you know, they somehow come out, pull off a win. And, I mean, that could even happen twice if Derrick Rose, you know, off getting the MVP, and he kind of maybe feels the pressure a little bit, and maybe he misses a few shots late in the game. So, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if they won two games. But as far as anything about an upset in the series, I mean, that's just crazy. Like, there's no way that would happen.
Yeah, most definitely. And I think the one thing the Pacers and their fans are really looking at is how does our team stack up to the best team in the Eastern Conference and for, like, future years, because of the fact that you guys do have a very young team. Like, you have Roy Hibbert, you know, Danny Granger is one of the older players on the team, but he's still very young. Of course, Dan Collison, Paul George, you know, Tyler Hansbrough kind of has been coming into his own, like, later on in the season. I think one of the big things Pacers fans should look forward to is the fact that how does this team stack up compared to, like, the top teams?
Exactly, and it's just, you know, there's two things for Pacers fans to kind of, you know, be celebrating. Not, you know, regardless of what happens or whether it's a sweep or not. It's just making the playoffs. You know, they went through such time after the brawl, and they had just so many players getting arrested with Steven Jackson, you know, Marquise Daniels and Jamal Tinsley, and that era was just so. I mean, it wasn't just like they weren't playing well, but it was just so hard for the fans in the Midwest to, like, even root for this team anymore. So this is kind of at the complete end of that era. And, you know, like you said, the names you all listed, the young nucleus of Larry Bird really tried to get guys that people can cheer for. And so just making the playoffs, and this is a first, like, baby step in the right direction. None of those guys that you said are going to be a franchise player. Aside from Danny Granger, I'm not even sure any of them can be a second best player on a good team. Roy Hibbert's okay. Paul George has a lot of promise if he can put some stuff together. But, you know, it's for the fans, especially the casual fans who they're trying to get back, you know, they'll be able to see them on national TV for the first time this year on Saturday and kind of actually start paying attention to Pacer basketball again. And Larry Bird will just see what they have. I mean, Mike Dunleavy's gone after this summer. TJ Ford's gone. Jeff Foster's contract is all expiring. So they have a lot of money to play around with this summer. See what happens with the new, you know, collective bargaining agreement. But they have a decent nucleus. They need to put, like, one or two, you know, big pieces around those guys, and then they might have, you know, could get a 4 seed next year or something like that.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, Jared, maybe the Pacers can win if they have one of those 54-point quarters that they had earlier this year.
Right. Oh, right. Yeah, against Denver. Yeah.
Yeah.
Josh McRoberts was the only guy who missed a shot. Yeah.
20 for 21 or something. If they do that throughout the course of the series, they'll win.
Yep. That's great analysis, and I think you're right on spot on there.
I think one thing that will kind of, like, bring in a casual, I guess, Pacers fans is the fact that the MVP is playing against you guys. And, you know, casual guys are going to see, okay, I'm going to watch Derrick Rose, and, of course, this Pacers team is in my hometown, but I just, you know, want to watch Derrick Rose. And then when the game comes on and, you know, maybe Granger or, you know, Collison or Hibbert are doing, like, really good, the casual fan that lives in Indiana is going to be like, hey, these guys are good, they're young, and I live in the same state as them. Maybe I want to go to some of their games next year.
Yeah, I mean, it's even for just the casual basketball fan who, like I said, these guys have not been on national TV yet this year, aside from NBA TV. So I think, you know, the blogger NBA dorks among us, you know, have at least caught a few Pacers games or, you know, seen moments of them, you know, at least know who Roy Hibbert and Tyler Hansbrough and these guys are as NBA players, Darren Collison. But there's a lot of people who just are, you know, only watch basketball for the playoffs who they haven't seen the Pacers play in 4 or 5 years. I mean, they've barely even seen Danny Granger because they just haven't been on TV at all. And they haven't made the playoffs since 06, so.
Yeah.
You got to feel good for those guys in you know, that sense.
Mm-hmm. Quentin?
Yeah, I really agree. I don't see a lot of chance for this Pacers team. But my one question is, besides Granger, is there really any matchup that you think they can win here for the Pacers?
No, not at all. No. I mean, I would say the Bulls have 4 of the best 5 players, you know, in the series, you know, with Luol Deng, Noah, Boozer, and Rose. And, you know, I put Danny Granger ahead of Luol Deng, certainly. I mean, it's probably not, when he's playing well, he's, you know, probably as
effective as Boozer. You know, Noah, it's kind of hard to compare them to because it's one's all offense, one's all defense. But, you know, whatever, wherever you want to rank Danny Granger in those top five players in the series, there is no one else on the Pacers who would even you would consider better than Luol Deng. Roy Hibbert, when he's playing really well, could be. But, yeah. So, yeah, in that, it's a talent league, you know, matchups and everything, what they are, coaching and all that stuff. But you can't have only one of the best five players in the series and come away with more than one or two wins, you know.
Yeah, that's the main thing for me is when I look at these series, you know, I try not to predict a sweep, you know, unless the talent difference is really that big. And this is one of the only two real potential series that I can see a sweep from. And, you know, I never really want to pick a sweep, you know, it's kind of tough. So I was just wondering if there are some matchups, but, you know, I agree with you there.
I think the biggest matchup that everybody should take a look at, of course, is Granger and Dane.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's where the Pacers, and unfortunately, I guess that's kind of where the Pacers have their, they need Danny Granger to score a lot of points, and they need him to do it efficiently. He needs to be scoring 25 a night plus on, you know, 15 shots, 14, you know, 12 shots. He can't be taking 20 shots and getting 25 points. Like, there's just not enough time in the game to be wasting that many possessions. But unfortunately, Luol Deng has been playing just superb defense all season, so Granger has played well against the Bulls this year. So there's that, but, you know, there's playoff atmosphere. Things are going to be harder to score and everything. So, I mean, there's Keith Bogans versus either Paul George or Mike Dunleavy. I mean, I think they can, you know, exploit that a little bit. Mike Dunleavy's pretty savvy. He's actually never made the playoffs before in his whole career. This is going to be his first playoff game. So I'm sure he'll be amped up for that. So, you know, maybe they can get some good shooting out of those guys, like I said, and steal a game, but man, I mean, there's really not much to discuss on this series, honestly.
Yeah. I think we've gone a little too far.
We've written about 6,000 words previewing it already, and we're going to continue doing that, but we're overcovering it, certainly. It's going to be a 4 or 5-game series, probably.
Yeah, most definitely. And the next matchup is the Miami Thrace, I guess. The Miami Heat going against the Philadelphia 76ers. And we started out with Jared last time. Now let's start out with Ray Morali this time.
Well, I'm not giving Philadelphia much of a chance here either. I mean, okay. Miami's just too talented for this team. At least three of the best five players. And the thing is, Philadelphia's been pretty hurt as well. Andre Iguodala, Lou Williams are hurt. Elton Brand's never going to be the same. I mean, we already see his peak years. Philadelphia plays well pre-defensively, but Miami's even better at that. So I really don't see this series going far either. Probably 5 or 6 games, maybe. But at the very least, though, I'll give Doug Collins some credit for I think this team is overachieved, really. You know, after a 3-13 start and then about at 500, that's pretty good.
Yeah, well, sadly, I think that's what everybody's saying. I don't think he's going to win the Coach of the Year because that usually goes to one of the coaches with one of the better records. But I think he should be in running because of the fact that this team really doesn't have that much talent and did finish at 500. Iguodala is a really good player, but who do they have except for Iguodala?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, Brand has been pretty good, as good as he can be, really. Drew Holiday's pretty exciting. Lou Williams came off the bench, and so did Thaddeus Young, who did pretty well as well.
Yeah, he's been excellent all year.
Yeah, but they don't have
Joni Meeks!
Really? Yeah, Joni Meeks. But they don't really have that huge scorer. Elton Brand led the team in scoring 50 points a game. There's not much. They don't have the go-to scorer that they need.
Yeah. Jared?
I think that's even a little similar to that. I don't really think they're 6-man to win, but I do like their Thaddeus Young, Iguodala, kind of. They're similar to the Heat a little bit in that sense. Quick swing guys who can win some points. They're not big scorers, but, you know, they're athletic. I think they can have a chance. So, yes.
Oh, your thing is kind of being really zacky.
Oh, can you hear me? Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. So I mean, we've seen the Heat play badly sometimes this year when they're not scoring or they're taking playing selfish, taking bad shots, forcing too many threes.
So, Zach, I guess we can go to Quentin while Jared fixes his mic issues.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, Quentin, what do you think about the Miami Philly series?
I think I agree with Ray. I think that Miami really has most of the advantages. I mean, a lot of people are really looking at Philadelphia and their depth and the fact that they have a nice assortment of talent off the bench. But I just think that when, like Jared said earlier in the Miami, I mean, in the Indiana Chicago series, the talent wins overall. I think that Wade and James and Bosch is going to be too much for them. And I think if you're Miami, the question is, you know, who are some of these role players that can come in and leave this series with a hot streak going into the next potential second round series?
Yeah, well, definitely that's one of the things you should really look at. And if one of the teams do stumble, that can really hurt them when they face off against the bigger and better opponents.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Jared Wade is, of course, as you heard, is having some technical issues and mic issues, so he's going to be working that out for the next few minutes. And we're going to go to Quentin's specialty, of course, with the New York Knicks as they face off against the Boston Celtics. Quentin, tell everybody about the series.
I'm confused because, you know, Boston has had struggles in the second half of the season since the Perkins trade, but a lot of Knicks fans are starting to, you know, get really excited and really, you know, they're really expecting a series win. And it's just, you know, people got to remember that this is, we're a newer team. This is their first playoff series together. I just don't see this playoff series ending well for the Knicks. And this might be a six-game series at best, but I think what a lot of Knicks fans are preying on is, can we get Stoudemire, Douglas hot in one game and win one? Can we get Anthony and Billups hot in another game and win one? Can we get the combination of between Billups, Douglas, Stoudemire, and Anthony, and maybe our defense play just good enough that we can pull off a win? And not a lot of people looking at the fact of this team has been to the NBA Finals twice in the past, you know, 4 years, and it's just 3 to 4 years, and it's just the experience, the fact that Garnett is still there, and Garnett has ripped us up. Rondo, I mean, although the tempo will be slowed down in the playoffs, Rondo is still going to try to kill this team, and I think he's going to have his way in the Knicks' defense, and I wouldn't be shocked if Boston won the series in five. I'll give the Knicks six because they're my team, but realistically, I don't see them winning.
Okay, Ray, what's your opinion?
I kind of disagree with Quentin. I think this will go seven. Boston will still win it, but the thing is, you've got to realize that Rondo's been on a slump ever since Perkins got traded.
Yeah. I think the entire Celtics team has kind of been in a slump.
Yeah, but Rondo makes that team go. You know what I mean? Like, he's the one that's running it. And this is pretty much like the worst breakup since Katina Mobley and Steve Francis broke up. That's how Rondo's feeling right now. Yeah, his assist numbers went down from like 14 to 11, and he didn't even lead the league anymore. Nash won the assist title this season, but overall experience will win it for the Celtics. And the Knicks have always played the Celtics well this year, so I expect this to be a close series, and then experience will win it over in Game 7, I believe.
I'm definitely, and I'm looking at the NBA playoffs bracket right now on ESPN, and if Boston wins the series, and if Miami wins the series, then it's Boston-Miami, which will end up being really, really tough for Boston.
Yeah, it'll be a little different than last year.
Yeah. Jared, what's your opinion on the series?
On if that series happens, or if
no, on the Boston and New York.
We can
get to that in a little later.
Sure, yeah, or not. I think I see it pretty similar to Quentin. It's I'm a little worried about the Celtics, I guess, just like you know, the post Perkins thing. Mm-hmm. But I mean, if the Knicks could play any defense, I could see them maybe being a threat. Just because, you know, the Melo factor, he's hit a lot of big shots late. You know, lately he had a game winner against the Pacers, and he had that other one not too many days before that. So I could see the Knicks putting a little like scare into him, but they just play such bad D, and Kevin Garnett is averaging like 28-14 against them this year. I mean, if they can get anything out of the center position, and Rondo isn't gonna stay in this complete funk that he's been in, you know, I think they handle in six games or so, pretty easily.
Yeah, most definitely. And the last of the series of the Eastern Conference is the Orlando Magic against the Atlanta Hawks. Let's start out with Jared.
Yeah, I mean, the Hawks are such a letdown. I was really big on them like 2 years ago probably, and even last year I thought they were going to put a little scare into someone in the playoffs, but, I mean, they just laid down against the Magic last year. So I know the Magic are not really coalescing properly and everything, and they've had so much turnover this year, and Gilbert Arenas has been a disaster and all these other things, but I just have no confidence in the Hawks anymore. Josh Smith's been kind of injured and mopey and stuff, and I mean, Jeff Teague's playing significant minutes aside from Mike Horford, and I mean, Joe, you know we're gonna get out of Joe Smith, just a lot of dribbling and a lot of shooting. They're talking about the coach already being on the hot seat, you know, he's been there 1 year and all that, so I mean, yeah, I mean, I think it'll be a little more competitive than last year, obviously, just because the Magic team isn't as together as they were, but I can't see the Hawks winning in it anyway at all.
Okay, Ray, what's your opinion?
I can't see the Hawks winning either. I've never been really confident with the Hawks the entire year. Like, I don't know. Like, they kept going to ISO Joe. Larry Drew never seemed to get the respect of his players, and this team is just mired in mediocrity, and it will be for a little while. So I don't see them going past the Magic this year either. Maybe 5-6 games, I'm guessing. Even if the Magic are more inferior this year than last year.
And of course, the Bucks gave the Atlanta Hawks a run for their money last season, and not a lot has really changed with the Atlanta Hawks. I guess a new point guard, same new white point guard, I guess, but not a lot really hasn't changed with the Hawks, I guess. In a year, they still have Josh Smith, they still have, you know, Horford, Johnson, Marvin Williams still bust, you know, they still have the same kind of players as last year, and I guess the Magic kind of got worse after that trade, but they're still the Magic. They can still, you know, if they're hot, they can still make a run at the NBA Finals if they get, I guess, really hot, and one thing about that, I don't think they're going to go to the finals, but I think they can beat the Hawks, and I guess maybe 5 or 6.
Yeah, I agree there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Katie, do you guys want to go through the entire bracket and do your NBA Finals predictions, or?
It's probably better just do first round.
Okay. Okay, and as we go there, we start out with the first matchup of the Western Conference as the Spurs go against the Grizzlies. Quinn, go.
I thought this was an interesting matchup. The fact that Memphis pretty much laid down to get the 8th seed, you know, a lot of people was arguing whether they should have went up and tried to get the 7th or 6th seed. I think this is an interesting matchup for them. I wonder if I wonder how Randolph is going to do in this series. I think this Memphis team is an okay team. I don't think they're terrible. I think they can pull out maybe 2 wins. More likely 1. I think the Spurs, the experience and the depth is going to bring them to a five-game series victory.
Okay, Jared.
Yeah, I think the same. I mean, people forget the Spurs. I mean, until you know, more recently, they were the best team in the league for, you know, 70% of this season. You know, they've tailed off a little bit late, but I mean, that's that's what they do. They're not worried about their seeding position. They just wanted to get into the playoffs. I mean, they could, the Lakers game the other night, you know, they sat all three guys probably just so they didn't have to play a back-to-back, and also because Pop didn't want to, like, show his hand, you know, at all to a team he was hopefully going to play in a couple weeks in the Western Conference Finals. But, yeah, I mean, look, Grizzlies are fun. They're a good little team. They're interesting to watch. You know, good job by them having good success. I love listening to Tony Allen speak. The longer they can stay in the playoffs, that's great. More post-game interviews with him. But, I mean, the Spurs are just the clearly superior team here. And I think the Spurs still have a good shot at going to the finals. It seems to be people are down on them a little bit. But, yeah, I don't think they'll have any trouble with the Grizzlies.
Yeah, I've been hearing people say that, you know, maybe the Lakers and Mavs or maybe OKC, but people are forgetting about the Spurs. People always seem to forget about San Antonio. They always do, even though that they won three championships in, I guess, the last decade. And the Spurs are still the Spurs. They still have Duncan, even though he's aging. They still have Manu, even though he's aging. And they still have Tony Parker, even though he is still kind of aging. Not as much as Manu and Timmy, but they're still the Spurs. They still have Popovich, and they're still a very smart and, I guess, boring to the casual NBA fans. And they're probably going to win this Memphis series in 5, in my personal opinion. Okay, let's go to Ray with his opinion on the series.
I'm just going to keep it short. I'll be glad when Memphis finally wins a playoff game, because they've never won one in their franchise history. But, yeah, they'll win one, maybe two at the most, but San Antonio's got this.
Yeah, most definitely. I think I know the reason why you wanted to keep this short, because you know what series we're going to talk about next.
What's next?
The Los Angeles Lakers, number 2 seed, right, going against the number 7 seed in the New Orleans Hornets. Huh. Ray, do your thing.
Obviously, if you guys watch the Lakers, which is everybody in the country, you know, they didn't play well the last few weeks. There was the Andrew Bynum injury scare. There's the Kobe Bryant slurgate, or whatever you want to call that. Basically, an interesting last few weeks. Steve Blake has chicken pox. Hope you guys are vaccinated, by the way. But
just when I was starting to think he wasn't 15 years old, you know.
But in any case, this is the best possible matchup they can get, really. The Hornets are, they don't have David West. They're a small team. Chris Paul hasn't been himself really this year. This is pretty much a disaster for New Orleans. But here's the thing: the Lakers, even in the playoffs, they tend to coast. If you saw the matchup against the Rockets in 2009, they coasted through a 7-game series. So that might give the Hornets hope, but let's get serious here, really. The Lakers are a much more superior team than the Hornets. I will give them a game, the Hornets.
Because of Chris Paul, probably.
Yeah, Chris Paul will probably score like 95 points and 8 assists.
And they'll still win by only like 8.
Yeah, really, but Lakers in 5.
All right. Jared?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, without David West, this just really isn't a good team. They don't have really any weapons. I mean, you're talking about a team that brings Lamar Odom off the bench, and you're going up against Chris Paul and, you know, Trevor Ariza. So, I mean, I love Chris Paul. You know, all this, he's obviously, his numbers are down a little bit this year, but I mean, I know everyone loves Derrick Rose and Russell Westbrook and Rajon Rondo, but I still would not take another point guard in the league over Chris Paul, even on one gimpy knee if he's going to continue to have that. But, I mean, yeah, let's just get serious. Lakers are probably the best team in the league, and they're just kind of slaughtered them. I can't even see the Hornets winning a game. I'd be surprised if they didn't lose by 10 4 times in a row.
All right. Quinton, what's your opinion?
Yeah, I agree. The bigger thing for me is who's guarding Kobe Bryant? That's the bigger question. You know, he's going to come out. You know, he's going to put up his 30. The Lakers are going to move the ball around, bring in the subs. And I see a sweep. Even with Chris Paul on the other side, without David West, I really don't think that this team can pull out a victory, you know. So I'm going Lakers in four.
Yeah, looking at the depth chart for both the Hornets and the Lakers, if you're going by guys to play at the same position, I don't think the Hornets are going to do that because Marco Bellinelli plays at small forward. And I don't really think you can stop Kobe Bryant because he's Marco Bellinelli. Just saying, maybe you want to have a race on him.
I just want to bring up one more thing. They traded their all-world scorer, really, like Marcus Thornton, who's killing it in Sacramento. They traded him away. Yeah. And they say that he's worse defensively than Marco Bellinelli? Really? At least that's what I've heard, but...
Yeah. Come on. Yeah, Thornton was one of the bright points of that. I guess, second half of the Kings. Last Kings season in Sacramento, as it seems. And he, of course, did amazing, I guess, last night against the Lakers.
Pretty much a gift for the Kings. You know, I just didn't understand that trade when it happened. I mean, I understand Carl Landry being a nice role player off the bench, but Thornton is a cannon. He can score, and he's under a rookie contract. Should have just kept him and moved on from there.
Yeah, Landry's a free agent too, right, at the end of the season?
Yeah.
Really, really questionable trade for the Hornets. And I guess three times. Make that four. But the Dallas number three Dallas Mavericks go against the number six Portland Trailblazers. And I have this for my upset of the first round of the NBA playoffs. In the US, I still have the Celtics being in next, but in this series, I do have the Trailblazers going against the Mavs. So, Quentin, do you agree with me?
Yeah, I guess. You know, I mean, it's scary because everybody's picking this as the upset, and Dallas is now going to be the disrespected team, and Dirk, I want to say Dirk is one of four players in the history of the playoffs averaging 20-10, you know, and there is experience on that Mavericks team. It's just they haven't been able to get past the first round and haven't had a lot of postseason success. And it's just, you know, it's very nice to pick the Blazers. You know, it's a good pick. You know, people are going to pick it a lot. It's an honest pick. It's a fair pick, to be honest with you. I just think Dallas is getting a little disrespected. I wouldn't be shocked if Dallas won this series, but I think Portland's depth, I like the talent there. I like the Gerald Wallace. I like Nick Batum. I think overall Portland has a good team. I think if we restarted the season, I think Portland would be a higher seed than Dallas simply because Dallas lost Caron Butler. But I think I'm going to go with Portland. I do agree with you there, Portland.
Yeah, most definitely. And Portland, at every single position, Portland has a really good matchup with Dallas.
Yeah, Portland does have a couple of advantage there. The shooting guard position, I think, is a huge advantage for Portland.
Yeah. What? I'm busy. All right, it's Ray?
Yeah.
What?
The shooting guard position is a upgrade. Is an advantage for Portland, and I do think that that's something that could come in handy. And they also have those small bodies that could give Dirk some trouble on the perimeter there.
Ray?
This is the toughest series to pick, really. I mean, Portland's just fun to watch, and that Gerald Wallace acquisition was probably to steal the trade deadline. But having said all that, I'm going to pick Dallas in seven. This is just like one of those coin toss picks, basically. Like, I won't be shocked if Portland wins. I won't be shocked if Dallas wins. But I think it all really comes down to who's going to get Dirk Nowitzki, because that guy is pretty much almost unguardable one-on-one.
Yeah, I mean, I guess everyone's down on Dallas at this point, and I've heard a lot of people picking Portland to win the series, and Portland has also, you know, kind of a little bit like Memphis, been a kind of a feel-good story. Once they lost Brandon Roy, I think everyone kind of wrote them off. So for them to even get a sixth seed after that, and also just the emergence of LaMarcus Aldridge has just been huge for them this year. I mean, he's really reinvented himself. He was very much a jump shooter before, and now he's really getting down on the block and scoring, and he's just tough. You know, he's just been tough all year, really hard nose, and I don't think a lot of people knew he could do that. I really didn't. So while it's been great to see that, I still think Dallas has quite a bit of going for them. I mean, they started off the season too. You know, everyone was in love with their game. Dirk Nowitzki was the MVP through the first 2 months, a lot of people were saying, and sure, the Caron Butler thing hurts, but at the end of the day, I mean, it's Dirk Nowitzki, it's Jason Kidd, it's Jason Terry. These guys have all been here. I don't know how LaMarcus Aldridge is going to do in the playoffs. You know, he's never really had to be a crunch time scorer. I mean, they're going to need him to continue getting 25 a night in order to, you know, Dallas is going to score. So they're going to need a lot of points out of him, and you know, who knows if he's going to be able to do that. So yeah, I think Dallas is going to win this. It's a good series though. I mean, all the ones out west. I mean, comparatively to what we're talking about in the East, all these Western series are good. And honestly, aside from the Lakers series, I mean, I know down on Memphis, but even they could give the Spurs some trouble. So I think all these series are really good out west.
Yeah, it's definitely. And the Trailblazers series do have a younger team. Wesley Matthews, like I said, Wesley Matthews, I guess, is my favorite non-bug because of the fact that he did play at Marquette. And he, I guess, has been one of the better stories as of the last few years. You know, an undrafted guy, you know, at the start of the season, then at the end of the season, going against Kobe Bryant in the playoffs. And he's been good ever since. And he did good in the playoffs last year. And I can see the same thing of him this year. I'm a big fan of Andre Miller, big fan of Patty Mills. Gerald Wallace is a good acquisition for the Blazers, and I do see them winning the series in 7. Okay. Anybody have anything else to say?
I think it could go 7. I mean, you know, Portland's a tough team at home, and the match, you know, it depends. They have to steal a game in Dallas. I think Portland could push this to 7 games, you know.
Definitely. And the last series we're going to talk about is the number 4 Oklahoma City Thunder going against the number 5 Denver Nuggets. And I'm going to say right here, right now, I think the Nuggets are going to beat Oklahoma City Thunder. I'll give my real opinion after I start out with Jared.
I'm sorry, I couldn't really hear you there.
I think that the Nuggets have a great chance of beating the Thunder.
Oh, sure, yeah. I mean, this is going to be the most fun series, I think. Denver's, I feel like I keep saying this about everyone, but Denver's been a great story. You know, everyone wrote them off, obviously, when Melo was gone, and they've played better than they had all year since he's been gone. I mean, they're playing defense. I mean, that's just, we haven't seen that in Denver. I mean, since Dikembe was there, I don't know. You know, it's been a while since we've been talking about D in Denver. Which, you know, I mean, if there's a whole altitude thing that always makes a difference. We kind of forget about sometimes. So if they're playing good D and putting up points, I mean, yeah, there's no reason they can't beat Oklahoma. Oklahoma still struggles to score sometimes. Kevin Durant's, I mean, still the scoring champ and everything, but I think people, oddly, I guess, were disappointed in him this year. I mean, it's weird to say about the scoring champ. I mean, he was a little less efficient. And Russell Westbrook, you know, kind of emerged. So, I mean, to the point where some people, ridiculously, in my opinion, are saying Westbrook they'd rather have than Durant. But you know, they got Dave Perkins now too, though. But they don't really always score, despite the fact that they have some guys that you would think can put points on the board themselves. So a couple of those nights, Oklahoma gets off to a rocky start. You know, Denver starts playing D. J.R. Smith goes on a crazy, you know, three-point binge or something like that. Sure, I mean, I could definitely see Denver winning this series.
Yeah, Ray, what did you say?
Are you picking Denver to win the series? Both of you guys, really?
No, I got Oklahoma, I'm just saying.
Okay.
I wouldn't be shocked if Denver won.
I wouldn't be shocked either, but, yeah, I think Oklahoma City is basically on a mission. I mean, they have Kendrick Perkins now. They needed that man in the middle that, you know, they badly needed this whole time. That basically frees up Serge Ibaka to go to power forward. The thing about Denver is that they really don't have that go-to guy now, just much like Philadelphia, as I mentioned earlier. Who are they going to go to in the crunch time? That's where Melo was good at. And I think that's where Denver will get killed. They'll probably win a couple of games against Oklahoma City, but when it comes to crunch time, who's Denver going to go to? That's my concern for them.
Maybe they just have Ty Lawson make 10 threes every game.
Well, that's
and then miss the last one, have Dennis Scott just basically ripping him. But they do have some. The Denver Nuggets are a very, very scrappy team. They're a very exciting team, too. They have Gallinari can make it. Of course, he really hasn't had any experience in making clutch shots because when he was with the Knicks weren't that good quite yet. I really do like Ablalo. Nene is a really good player. But I do like Felton, too, as a sixth man. And, of course, he does have some playoff experience from last year. But this team, of course, is very, very young and very scrappy. And I think that they can give Oklahoma City a great, great run for their money. So before we end off the playoff preview podcast special edition, guys, what player that people really don't know about right now should fans watch out in this first round? Jared?
It's a tough one. I think, you know, I'm going to stay with Ty Lawson. I mean, I don't know if he's the one guy that everyone should be really watching for, but I've always been really impressed with his game. He's been underrated just because he hasn't gotten as many minutes with Billups there. And personally, just he's been a joy to watch for me. He's so fast. I mean, as we saw, he can shoot, plays okay defense, but he really can distribute the ball or call his own number when he needs to. And I'm not really a fan of Billups. I guess everyone you're supposed to be. He's like everything that's good about the NBA. He's a leader and he's a veteran and he's gritty, but he takes terrible shots and no one really calls him out on it all the time. And so I guess I was just grown stale watching him over the years. So I've really enjoyed watching Ty Lawson get his time to lead that team. And I mean, so far he's done a hell of a job. So maybe he can fell into a series victory even.
Yeah. A lot of those Nuggets players, everybody really should have their eye out on. Of course, like you said, Lawson. Also, of course, Wilson Chandler. Danilo Gallinari is another one of those players that the casual fans should have their eye on. I don't think any casual fans would listen to a Bucks show about an NBA playoff preview, but if they are, Watch out for a lot of the Nuggets players, like Jared said, Ty Lawson, Chandler, Gallinari, some very, very good young and talented Nuggets players that could really shine in the series against OKC. Ray, who do you think man should watch out for?
He's had a really tough year. He's actually a pretty big name, but his season hasn't been the greatest of season, but I'm looking for OG May to make somewhat of a comeback in this postseason. No, I mean he got his ass kicked by Tony Allen. He was busted for PEDs, and you know he almost got traded too. So I think he's really looking for some kind of revenge tour against San Antonio. I mean, they may not win the series, but I think he's gonna put up a hell of a series.
All right. What's that, you, Jared?
I didn't go.
Oh. Oh, somebody had a little reaction when Ray said OJ Mayo.
That was me. I was gonna pick OJ Mayo.
All right.
Yeah. I'll stick one of my New York guys, Tony Douglas, you know.
Okay.
Late in the season, I think he's had a little bit of a surge. I mean, he's never afraid to shoot the ball up. I think he's one of our best defensive players. You know, not a lot of people know about him too much. You know, he played behind Felton and then he played behind Billups. But now he's got a little bit more time at the shooting guard position. Fields has been in a little bit of a slump. And I think he's somebody who, if the Knicks really want to take this series to 7 or even win the series, I think he's somebody that has to play very, very well in a lot of games, every game, to be honest with you, to win the series. I think Douglas is somebody to watch out for.
Yeah, and my player to watch out for, not surprisingly, Wesley Matthews, Marquette guy. Really good player. Can score. Can play defense. Watch out for him against the Dallas Mavericks and Jason Terry. That's my take. What player is going to be really disappointed in this first round? Let's start out with Ray.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Which player is going to be a disappointment in the first round, say, and in the playoffs?
Disappointment. You know, the funny thing is that Aaron's been hyping up, and I've been hyping him up too, but I think Andrew Bynum's going to have a disappointing series. I mean, he's going to come up big later on, but in the first round, I think for some strange reason, he's not going to have a big series because he's going to be thinking about that that knee injury that he suffered a few games ago. So usually his confidence is way down after an injury. So I'm looking for him to kind of, you know, have a mediocre series against New Orleans.
Yeah, but once the semifinals and conference finals come.
Once the semifinals, conference finals, yeah, he'll be much better. But he's going to be doing this little by little.
Yeah. I can totally see that. Andrew Bynum has a history of, you know, just starting off very slowly after he gets injured, and I can still see that in the first round matchup against New Orleans, but of course I'll see LA winning that in, I guess, 4 or 5. So, Jared, what player is going to disappoint? What player should you think is going to be a disappointing in the first round?
Well, I'm hoping it's going to be a 4-way tie between Derrick Rose, Boozer, Luol Deng, and Joakim Noah. But that doesn't seem too realistic considering the opponents that they're playing against. So I think somewhat Knicks fans, I mean, I don't think he'll be bad, but I think Knicks fans might be a little disappointed with Carmelo. I'll just go with a big guy. They're not going to win the series. I wouldn't be surprised if he forces the issue a little bit late in games. I mean, he's Charlie probably, from a personal standpoint, trying to make a splash, and, you know, he's in his new market and everything, and he really wants to be, show that he's, you know, an alpha dog that can, deserves to be right there with Dwayne Wade and LeBron and Kobe and stuff. And I just see him pressing a little bit too much, and he was getting frustrated with the offense, it seems. He was, like, pouting a little bit when they were, you know, right after he got traded over there. And they were going through some losing streaks. So I can see him just not performing as he normally does. I mean, you know, averaging 23 and, you know, shooting 41% for the series or something like that, which fine by most people's, but, you know, it's not going to be Carmelo Anthony level all-world play.
Yeah. Quentin, do you have any retaliation for that?
No, because I've seen Carmelo Anthony have some bad games in the second half of the season. You know, it could happen. He's not lying. I wanted to pick somebody off, you know, just a random person. I picked LaMarcus Aldridge. I think this is, like Jared said, I think this is a big series for Aldridge to step up and prove that he is this number one guy that he's shown flashes of during the season. He's progressed really well. I think, you know, this is his first series as the main guy, and I wouldn't be surprised if he struggled a little bit. You know, the extra pressure, the fact that now he's going to have Dirk and Tyson Chandler, you know, he's going to command a little bit more. I wouldn't be shocked if he commanded some more double teams, and I wouldn't be shocked if he struggled just a little bit in the Portland-Dallas first-round series.
And I was going to add, I know the Suns missed the playoffs, but Vince Carter is still going to continue disappointing.
Vince Carter really doesn't have a good history in the playoffs, especially last year. He's really not that good when the pressure is on him. He's good when he's playing with a bad team. He's really good. But
yeah, I'd always try to defend him a little bit because I think he got a bad rap. Not a bad rap, but like, you know, people really criticize him so much, and he's still a pretty good player. But then last year he missed those free throws at the end of a game, and so after that I'm just like, all right, I'm done with you. Like I can't defend you even anymore.
you put your hands up like, I give up.
I was trying, Vince, but you're just making it too hard at this point.
Yeah, I really don't think that people are going to be surprised of Vince Carter being disappointing. Wait, he's not even playing.
No, that's what I'm saying. He's going to be disappointing.
Yeah. I was thinking for a second. Because that Western Conference like so clogged up. I'm like, is Phoenix playing? No. I should have done that because we just talked about all the matchups. I really don't have a disappointing player. I really want to, you know, go into this whole thing, you know, being really positive. I'm like, oh, this guy's doing good, this guy's doing good, and this guy's doing good. But I just had to throw that question out there. And last but not least, the thing, of course, ESPN has to have an advertisement in the middle of the website. But the question that everybody's asking everybody, starting out with Quentin, who do you think is going to be in the NBA Finals, and who's going to win the NBA Finals?
I'm going to go with the Chicago Bulls versus the LA Lakers in the East. I think Chicago defensively is going to be able to just push through. They already shown that they can beat the Heat. They swept the Heat this season. I think Derrick Rose is going to be out looking to dominate in his first real playoff series, you know, looking to win as a favorite. I think Carlos Boozer is going to be a very important key to this team, and I think Chicago's ultimately going to end up in the finals. And in the West, I think the Lakers is still the team to beat. A lot of people are ready to put Oklahoma City or Dallas or San Antonio. I think LA is still the team to beat, and I don't think Kobe is going to allow this Laker team to lose, especially with a team like Boston, who's been a rival, you know, more recent than his earlier championships down. So I think it's going to be Chicago and Los Angeles, and I think the Bulls are going to win the championship. I think Derrick Rose, again, is going to be looking out to prove. And one of the reasons why I really think Derrick Rose is going to win the MVP is just the statement games he had this season. And one of the main games that stuck out to me was the Chicago-Los Angeles Friday night game where Derrick Rose really just took over, and he stole the show in Chicago against a Kobe Bryant Los Angeles Lakers team, and I think Chicago's going to win the series and take home the championship.
Okay, I guess we can go to resident Laker fan Ray with this opinion.
I'm not biased at all. I think the Lakers are going to win it all.
All right. I don't see any
Lakers over Bulls, though. I do think the Bulls will get to the finals. Thibodeau's been outstanding, and he did coach he was an assistant to the Boston Celtics that coached that defensive monsters from 2008. But yeah, I do believe the Lakers will win over the Bulls, but it will be really tough. It'll be really tough.
Let's go with Jared with his opinion.
I just think it's going to be Lakers-Celtics again. I just don't have that much faith in the Bulls, I guess, as much as everyone else does. I don't know. I just see them struggling a little bit once they get to, you know, Eastern Conference Finals. You know, even the second-round matchup could – well, wait, no, they'll put them in the Magic. Yeah, whoever comes out of the Celtics-Heat, I think the Celtics are going to win that, and then – just the experience of the Celtics. I know they don't have Perkins. I know they've been struggling a little bit, and I know Rondo is not being himself lately. But, I mean, they've just been there so many times, and I think they're cliched, but, you know, this is kind of their last shot, which that's what made the Perkins thing so weird. You know, you figure you load up and just go for one more before these guys get too old. But, yeah, so I think it's just going to be Celtics-Lakers, and I really just think the Lakers are the best team in the league. When they're playing well, I just don't think they're beatable. They just have so much length in that front court. They play so much D. It's so hard to score on them. And, you know, Kobe's not bad either.
Yeah, Kobe's a decent player. I heard from various sources. It may be, maybe false, but I don't know. Last I heard, he was a very good player. Exactly. Maybe Hall of Fame quality, but that may be going a little bit too far.
Maybe.
Yeah. My prediction: Pacers, Grizzlies, NBA Finals, 8 seeds. Boom. I don't really know where to go with this other than Lakers, Bulls, because of the fact that I did pick the Nuggets to beat the Thunder. If I picked the Thunder to beat the Nuggets, I would have the Thunder in the finals, but I do not. I think it's too soon for both the Thunder and the Heat. I think maybe next year when the Heat know what the hell is going on with the team, that might be the year. And when the Celtics get a little older next year, that might be the Heat's year. But I don't think any of the Eastern Conference teams can really stop the power of the Chicago Bulls with Rose, with Dane, with Boozer, with Noah, with the greatness of Brian Scalabrine, and and of course Keith Lawrence and Kurt Thomas, of course former Buck. But you know, Bulls Lakers, you know, a rematch of the NBA Finals of 1990. So there you go. That's our NBA playoff preview show. Of course, now it's time to go to plugs. Let's start out with Quentin.
I just started a new site, nbastateofmind.wordpress.com. I previously worked and wrote at sircharlesincharge.com. You know, I just wanted to do my own thing for a little bit and get my writings out there. Worked on a playoff preview. I also have a couple of things, my awards predictions, and that's about it. You can also follow me on Twitter at Quentin, Quentin, underscore Haynes, Haynes.
All right, let's go to Ray.
You can find me at thenolookpass.com. We're doing playoff previews right now as well. I actually just worked with Jared Wade earlier to talk about the Pacers. You can also find me as the editor of stashketball.com. Follow me on Twitter, the No Look Pass.
Yeah, the read raised various discussions about boy bands and the Spice Girls.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I think I've seen that a few times before. Right, Ray?
What? I don't know what you're talking about. Just go on.
You don't talk about boy bands, do you? I don't know. Last time I checked, I thought he did, but...
Don't worry about it. Just go on.
Just follow. And you may be surprised at what you see. All right, so let's finally go to Jared with his many plugs.
My primary thing I said is the Pacers, 8points9seconds.com, True Network, Pacers blog. So we'll be, like I said, probably only another week or so left on covering games actively over there, but check that out. And we got a lot of stuff going on, a huge kind of preview for the series. It's the first one since 06 that they've had, so we're really kind of going overboard, and I think we've got a 5-part preview coming up and still more parts to go tomorrow and stuff. And then, BothTeamsPlayedHard.com. Like I said, that's always been my main general NBA site. And I'm hoping to get more writing over there during the playoffs. Some stupid stuff as normal, and hopefully some actual, like, articles as well. And then HardwoodParoxysm.com is the true general blog as well. I was writing there a lot last year. Haven't been there at all this year, but we're gonna pick it up again for the playoffs, too. I got to get my act together over there.
And if you guys have anything I'll say, I guess I'll wrap up this special Bucks cast NBA playoff preview spectacular extravaganza. Other adjectives that are great fit here, of course, Ray Miraldi, the No Look Pass, Jared Wade, 8 points 9 seconds or whatever, some stupid pacer things that nobody cares about starting next week, and of course Quentin Hayes, NBA State of Mind, not WordPress. .com. I love ribbon on Jerry because of the Pacers, but my team is not even in the playoffs, so I really shouldn't talk. So everybody, again, next week is, I guess, will be the regular Bucks cast. I guess we have Bucks stuff to talk about, even though the team's not even in the playoffs, but whatever. Guys, see you, I guess, next week for a new edition of the Bucks cast. Everybody,
thanks for having
have a good day.
Me.
Oh, 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 oh,